This is the Diehards.
Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Frankly, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
Tom Brady takes the snap, drops to the knee, and the Patriots have won their sixth Super Bowl title.
The Diehards start now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Welcome into an abbreviated edition of the Diehards. Patrick Gilroy sitting in for Anthony Pepe and friends, making our way together until 10 p.m. Eastern time here tonight, right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Short show, but lots to get to tonight. All hell has broken loose in the association. I want to get into this with you guys tonight, as there are coaching vacancies popping up all around the league. It looks like some pretty premier destinations. Rick Carlisle out in Dallas. Stan Van Gundy's now out in New Orleans. Brad Stevens, of course, out in Boston. Terry Stotts out in Portland. Scotty Brooks, he's out in Washington. And if the Bucks lose tonight, in Game 6 at home, Mike Budenholzer is next. And some of these jobs, some of these openings are certainly much more tempting than others. But when you look across the landscape of the National Basketball Association and you look at the coaches that have got longevity at this point, it's really Eric Spoelstra, Popovich, and Steve Kerr. That's really it. There has been this coaching carousel taking place in the National Basketball Association over the course of the last 2 or 3 years. And I'm not sure it's a good thing for the league. I'm not sure it's a good thing for the players. We'll get into why the players are the ones making these decisions. And since when do we allow in our society 21, 22, 23-year-old young men, young women, people just breaking into the workforce, since when are they the decision makers? That's what's happening in the NBA. And if that happened in real life, if you allowed a 21-year-old person to come into your business and start making key personnel decisions just because the 21-year-old was unhappy, it just wouldn't work out well for you and your business. We'll get into that when we come back. Also want to get into the quarterback controversy brewing here in New England. This is the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. My name is Patrick Gilroy, sitting in for Anthony Pepe and friends. When we come back, we'll break down the NBA, the head coaches, and why these young stars just don't know what they're talking about.
You're listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
And when you guys need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com, it is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. Order online at O'Reilly Auto. Pick up your parts free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store. They'll even bring them out to you curbside. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly with O'Reilly Auto Parts. Visit O'ReillyAuto.com today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy sitting in for Anthony Pepe and friends this evening, making our way together up until 10 o'clock Eastern time, hanging out with you guys and trying to figure out what the hell's gone on in the National Basketball Association. I am the biggest hoop head that you guys are going to have on this network for the most part. And I don't say that for bragging rights. I mean, I'm addicted to this game. I'm addicted to basketball in general, and I have been for as long as I can possibly remember. It's something that's in my DNA and in my blood. But I feel like part of what made basketball, especially at the NBA level, as great as it was when I was coming up in the world, and as great as I think it still can be, is that everybody had their jobs, and it was up to everybody to maximize their talent, maximize their potential, and do their jobs well. And the NBA as a whole, when I say that, I mean, the brain trust in Secaucus, the brain trust in New York City, the commissioner and on down, they all had their jobs to do as well. And it's their jobs to keep the sport popular, but it's also their job to make sure that the talent is spread out somewhat evenly and fairly across the league. Now, there's no way the commissioner can dictate where players choose to go. So there's always going to be markets in free agency that have got unfair advantages due to weather, due to market size, due to fan base, due to owners that are willing to spend into the luxury tax and even the new repeater tax and the multiple repeater tax. So even though the commissioner continues to sort of tax those owners and tax them heavily, when I say heavily, look into the repeater tax and the multiple repeater tax. They put penalties on these teams, but it doesn't mean you're not allowed to go over the cap multiple years. It doesn't mean that you're not allowed to spend the money. It just means that for every dollar you spend, you're paying two, and in some cases paying $3, not to the player. The other dollar or two goes kind of off to the league. It goes into the league's kitty. So if you want to sign a guy for $100 million and you're over the cap, and you've been over the cap for 2 years, you're paying that repeater tax, and that $100 million is going to cost you $200 million out of pocket. Some owners, a la Mark Cuban, a la the guy with the Clippers, Steve Bannon, these guys are willing to do it because they're multiple billionaires 100 times over, and this is, you know, it's an investment, but it's also a hobby. You know, you can't fake the love that they show on their faces when they're, you know, hugging their players after a big win, or the disappointment on their faces after a grueling loss. Those are great owners. But the NBA as a whole, I think, has got a fundamental problem when it comes to structuring the power in the league. And I think it's going to come back and bite them in the ass. I don't think it's going to happen overnight. And I don't think it's going to happen in the next year or two. But if they continue to allow the players to have this much power, I don't see how structurally they can keep the structural integrity of the game the way that it's always been. And I don't want to tell these players to shut up and dribble, because I think that's two different conversations. I think that, you know, when LeBron got mad about the shut up and dribble comment a couple of years ago, it really had more to do with social justice and people not wanting to listen to his opinions about what it's like to be black in America. And he has every right to give those opinions, and I don't have a thing to say about it because I'm a white Irish guy named Patrick. So how can I possibly speak eloquently or knowledgeably about a topic that I've never lived? So I stay away from that. The closest I'll come is believing that because I travel the country and I've been to sporting events in every major market multiple times over, I've heard disgusting things in Baltimore. I've heard disgusting things in Atlanta, disgusting things in Los Angeles, and disgusting things at home here in Boston. I've heard them everywhere. They weren't aimed at me, but I overheard them. And, you know, I think that's a problem that has to be worked on as a country, not just as a media market here in Boston. But, you know, the shut up and dribble comment is something where if these guys want to take their time at the podium to express a concern, express a belief, express something that's troubling them, maybe share some of their knowledge that they've got firsthand about what it's like to grow up in the inner city and be an African American, by all means, I will shut up and listen. Educate me. But that doesn't mean that if I get frustrated with the fact that we've got 20, 21-year-olds, 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds legitimately now running the league, meaning they have the power to form super teams, so to hell with the salary cap, to hell with drafting well, to hell with, you know, staggering your contracts as a general manager so over the course of 3 years, four major contracts come off the books. So when you're looking at the free agency class 5 years down the line, you've now set yourself up to have two max deals open in your cap. Because that's the way this whole game was structured. It was structured with a look towards the future while trying to win in the present. And, you know, it takes multiple years generally to rebuild a team. And that's okay. If a team goes through a nice run, if a team has a 7, 8, 9, 10-year run where, say, they make a couple of NBA finals and they win a championship, or they come close to winning a championship, and then the older players start to walk away, retire, get traded off for younger assets, the fans expect a rebuilding period after that. You don't have to stay great. They want to see young talent come in, fresh legs come in. And I tell you what, as a hoophead, as a junkie, I get a lot of pleasure out of watching young guys get better year after year after year. And showing potential and giving us a taste of what they can be. Hell, in Jason Tatum's rookie year, he nearly propelled the Celtics to the NBA Finals. He was that close. He had LeBron James on the ropes in the conference finals as a rookie. So I think we saw a taste of what was to come with Jason Tatum here in Boston. Luka in Dallas, same thing. But now Jason Tatum, he is asserting himself as one of these powerful voices in the league. And Luka is asserting himself as one of these powerful voices in the league. Zion, same thing. You've got guys like Damian Lillard getting Terry Stotts fired. Scotty Brooks, he's out in D.C. That has Bradley Beal written all over it. So not only are these guys teaming up and forming their super teams and doing away with preparation, drafting, grooming of players, sort of the maturing of players, building your team through the draft, through free agency as a general manager. Hell, I guess that, you know, maybe LeBron James legitimately, we've joked for years that he's the de facto general manager and de facto head coach. Maybe before he retires, he can actually take those titles as well and be the first player, coach, general manager in NBA history, because it's apparent that that's the type of power these guys want. And I don't think it's a bad thing for me to sit here and get frustrated with that. We don't have to empower everybody. We don't have to empower, and it doesn't mean it's a racist comment. It means everybody has a job to do, and they've got every right to get frustrated with their coach. They have every right to get frustrated with their general managers. But if I get frustrated with the owner of my company, and I do, love him, mean it, all right? But I get frustrated with him. That doesn't mean I want a new situation or I want him ousted as CEO. It means we're human beings. We had a bad day. I got frustrated. You sit down and talk about it like men a couple days later. You know, that's the way this was designed to go. And somehow, some way, everybody's gotten scared of that. And it's going to take a franchise. It's going to take a couple of franchises, a couple of owners, a couple of general managers that are unafraid of the players, that aren't going to bow down to every player's demand and aren't going to bow down to every player's wish before maybe the tide starts to turn in the other direction. If we've learned one thing about the NBA over the last 40 years, is that it's a copycat league and it is cyclical. So in the late 80s to early 90s, it was all about the Pat Riley defense. And everybody tried to mirror the Pat Riley defense because we went from Showtime Pat Riley to New York Knicks Pat Riley. And New York Knicks Pat Riley didn't have nearly the same offensive weapons and options that he had in L.A. What he had was Charles Oakley. What he had was Patrick Ewing. What he had was Anthony Mason and John Starks. I'm talking about grinders, guys that literally would all be all defensive first team guys right now if they played in the league today. So he slowed the game down. And all of a sudden, scores went from, you know, 130 to 119 into the high 70s and low 80s. And everybody tried to emulate it because he was able to maximize that talent. You know, everybody tried to get themselves a couple of superstars in the 90s. Then it became getting, you know, your three-headed monster, your big three, in the late 2000s with the Celtics through the Miami Heat, the Lakers a couple of times, and now with the Brooklyn Nets. Copycat league. Head coaches, once upon a time, getting the best collegiate coach out there was the thing to do. All right, look how well that worked out in Boston with Rick Pitino. And now, oh, by the way, there's rumors about John Calipari being on the Celtics dream team list. Are you kidding me? Did you not learn the first time around? I mean, Coach Cal, very successful. But I don't want him anywhere near the Celtics franchise. And I don't think they'll do it, by the way, because I don't think that Jason Tatum or Jaylen Brown want him. See, it's gonna be about letting these guys choose their coach and their children. So here's what's gonna happen. Let's say they want Sam Cassell or Chauncey Billups in Boston. And you can apply this to any one of the open job opportunities across the league. All right. Let's say that Damian Lillard wants Chauncey Billups, and we know he does, to go to Portland. What happens after they lose 8 out of 10? Do you still want Chauncey then? Are you going to stand by your decision? Jason Tatum, Damian Lillard, Jaylen Brown, PJ, are you really going to do it? Zion, any one of these guys, Bradley Beal, whichever guy you demand to be your head coach, when you go through your first downward spiral, because it will happen for every one of these teams. There's a reason why these jobs are open, and it's because these teams are imperfect. These teams have got flaws that cannot get corrected in one off season, and they certainly can't get corrected with the hiring of one head coach. So it makes no sense to me why we're going to allow 21-year-old kids the ability to dictate everything from on the court to off the court. Doesn't make any sense to me. My name is Patrick Gilroy. We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Quote, buy, and save on your home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer only at Progressive.com. We are the Diehards. No Anthony Pepe, no friends this evening. It's just Patrick Gilroy hanging out with you guys until 10 p.m. Eastern time. We'll get back to the power issue in the NBA coming up a little bit later in the program. But I do want to get to what's happening in my own backyard, because I can't believe this, but there's a legitimate quarterback controversy brewing here in New England. And to me, the choice is as clear as day, but Bill Belichick is one of the biggest tough guys, and I put that in quotation fingers because he likes to bully around the media, and he especially likes to do it on Zoom now. But, you know, it's one thing to bully them in person. It's a whole other thing to bully them virtually. But that's what he's been doing since the start of COVID, right? So he doesn't like to answer tough questions. He will belittle people that ask tough questions, and I have no issue with it. He's done it to me. I have no issue with it because he generally wins. And at the end of the day, I got into sports radio because I'm a fan. I would rather have a guy that's an a-hole and wins than the kindest guy in the world that loses. So I have no problem with Belichick's demeanor and the way that he treats the media. All that being said, he's part of his tough guy act. Let's go all the way back to the last time the Patriots won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. Remember when Tom Brady, going into, was it the week between the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl, when he ripped apart his thumb? You know, he hit a teammate's helmet, and he bent his thumb all the way back, and his thumb was hanging off. He had 30-some-odd stitches put in there, and he had no feeling in his thumb. And he goes out, and he winds up winning a Super Bowl with that thumb. And when you see the pictures of it that came out after the fact, you're left in sheer amazement that not only was he able to play, but he was able to play at an extremely high level and look like Tom Brady and win. And Belichick, instead of kissing Tom Brady's ass, who, by the way, had won his sixth ring with and for Belichick at that point, he says, well, it was an open-heart surgery, sarcastically. And he doesn't give Tom the public pat on the back. He doesn't give Tom the warm and fuzzies. He went out of his way for years to say, well, you know, Tom's a great player, but he's just another Patriot. He's just another guy. We need to play better on offense, defense, special teams, coaching. And he would always sort of lump Tom in with everybody else. And I get it. I do. I know what you're trying to do by doing that. But as players elevate in stature, we just talked about it with the NBA. As they elevate in stature, unfortunately, to keep them around long term, you gotta kiss their ass a little more. You gotta keep them happy. You gotta make them feel wanted. Everybody that plays professional sports, and for that matter, everybody for the most part that's in the sports media, we all want to feel wanted. We've all got some sort of psychological imbalance, a little self-esteem issue, and we want to feel wanted. It comes with the program. It is what it is. And Belichick knows that, but he refused to do it for Tom. I don't know why he insists on doing it with Cam Newton. He's going out of his way, and he's been doing it since Cam got here last year, to kiss this guy's ass, say nice things about him all the time, flat out lie about his production and his ability to continue to produce at a high level. And anybody with eyes that's been observing camp so far can tell you that Cam is clearly right now the second, maybe third best quarterback on the Patriots roster. And if you ask Belichick right now, Cam's a starting QB. Now, you can't convince me that Cam gives the Patriots a better chance to win than Mac Jones. You just can't. And I don't think Mac Jones is going to be all that great. I think he's going to be a good, maybe very good quarterback in the NFL if he reaches his peak. And, I think he's got the tools and the talent to be somebody and stick around and have a long NFL career. I don't think anybody that compares him to Tom Brady is doing Mac Jones any favors, just because he's got, you know, a softer male form, kind of like Brady did when he came out of the draft. Call it man boobs. I mean, Brady had them. Take a look at the pictures, and Mac's got them too. Yeah, we're talking about a good A cup and a half, maybe a small B. They both have them. You know, they both have accurate arms. They both have leadership qualities. Yada, yada, yada. But Tom's the greatest to ever play the game. You know, it was kind of like what happened in Chicago when MJ walked away multiple times. All right, at one point, you know, Scottie Pippen's got to step into that role. That wasn't fair to Scottie. Then Tony Kukoc has got to step into that role. And when MJ walked away and Pippen led the Bulls to the second round of the playoffs and they still had 50 wins, poor Pete Myers was literally the starting small forward, starting shooting guard for the Bulls, literally taking MJ's spot on the roster. By the way, he's now a great assistant coach in the NBA. Much more success as an assistant coach than as a replacement for Michael Jordan. But that's what you're asking Mac to do. So it's not fair, but I think Mac has got to have more talent. His arm's got to be better. I think he can pick up the offense faster than Cam Newton. Now, Cam is still got a role in this league, but Cam talks like he's still a top five, top 10 quarterback. Cam still believes he's a top five, top 10 quarterback. Somehow, some way, at some point in the last 3 years, Cam has lost the ability to throw, and it was never his biggest strength, but it was never his biggest weakness either. Watching him at camp, it's more the same from last year. He's throwing at people's feet, and after he throws at somebody's feet a couple of times, he overthrows them a couple of times, and eventually he lobs one in. Meanwhile, Mac's out there running drills, looking sharp, and you can't really tell much of anything from camp, but what I can tell you is the Patriots went out, they spent a ton of money this offseason. They went out, they revamped the roster, both offensively and defensively, and I think one of the biggest things that's happened for the Patriots this year is, you know, guys like Hightower coming back because he stayed out last year due to COVID. The leadership qualities that you get from Cam on the offensive side, I really believe Hightower can bring a similar type of leadership, if not more leadership, to that locker room. So why, if Mac is the guy, it's clear that Cam is a bridge. At his age, with the way his last few years have gone, at best, he's a bridge. He's not a long-term solution. He's not a long-term solution anywhere in the NFL, let alone New England. So if you are Bill Belichick and you've got, say, 4 or 5 years left, I mean, he's 68 years old. I don't know how long he wants to coach for. I know he'd like to win another Super Bowl. I know that he wants to get to 200 wins. It's going to take him a few more years to get there. But what is the fastest path to another Super Bowl? What is the fastest path to 200 wins and walking away? The fastest path has got to be a quarterback not named Cam Newton. And oh, by the way, you know, every single time that Bill Belichick has drafted somebody in the first round, they start. They start. That doesn't always work out, but they start. So why is this going to be any different? Why is Belichick elevating Cam Newton to this stature that he just hasn't earned? It's been how many years since he won an MVP? It was a long time ago. I think Kevin Garnett was still, you know, competing for championships in Boston. It's been a long time. So I understand he's had a great run. He's had a very good career. He's a borderline Hall of Famer. He transcended the sport for a few years. He completely redefined what it was to be a quarterback in the NFL. And last year, he was still a dominant force when it came to running in for touchdowns, and I think he could still play a role in this league. I just don't think that he deserves a start in New England or anywhere else. I think it's time for Cam to get comfortable as being the number two quarterback in New England or somewhere else. My name is Patrick Gilroy. We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. So when we come back, I do want to get to the new Space Jam reboot. I'm sorry, LeBron, you are no Michael Jordan, LeBron James. Just, you're not. I you wish you were, but you're no MJ.
listening to the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
It is the Diehards right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Patrick Gilroy with you guys for 20 more minutes or so, hanging out till 10 o'clock Eastern time, filling in for Anthony Pepe and friends. And keeping an eye on the Brooklyn-Milwaukee game, Game 6 in Milwaukee right now. Once again, Milwaukee gets out to a hot start in this game, but Brooklyn is just sticking around. Currently down 7 with about 2 minutes to go in the first half. And this is, again, this is dangerous. You know, Brooklyn, they're 1.5 men down. James Harden looks a little bit better tonight than he did a couple nights ago, but clearly he's playing on one good leg, maybe 50% on the other leg, and he's out there gutting it out. So, you know, a lot of respect goes to Harden for putting his body on the line and putting his team first. I got to give him credit. You know, he's a guy that sometimes gets labeled as soft around the league, but I got to tell you, he's manning up in a league where a lot of these guys put themselves, their long-term health, and their next paycheck ahead of the good of the team. So no complaints for me when it comes to James Harden playing in this game. Of course, no Kyrie Irving. He's out with the ankle injury. And, you know, if the Nets win this game and ultimately win this series in six, this has got to be a choke job of the ages. It has to be when you look at the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks have had trouble in recent years, you know, getting by teams like the Celtics, you know, getting through the Eastern Conference, getting to the NBA Finals, and they've had a foundational, transformative superstar in Giannis for the last few years. You know, he's been that type of guy, and Chris Middleton, he's a really good number three. He used to be their number two, but now they got a legitimate number two in Jrue Holiday. This is a team that is built to win right now. They're equipped to win right now. And the conference finals were literally handed to them on a silver platter. Not only did Brooklyn lose two out of three of their superstars, Brooklyn had to come back from 20-some-odd points down the other night. It's like it's a joke. And Milwaukee is supposed to be a team on the precipice, and you know they're too busy bitching at the refs right now to try to get their mind right and get in this game. And again, you know, Budenholzer's had a nice run in Milwaukee, but he always seems to come up short. And if Milwaukee doesn't find a way to win this game at home tonight and extend the series to seven, he's going to be the next head coach looking for a job. And yeah, I got to wonder if you're ranking these coaching opportunities around the league, where a team like Milwaukee really ranks. I mean, the market is small. The fan base is rabid. But it's a small market. You've got a foundational superstar. You absolutely do in Giannis, but his game has got shortcomings. And the thing with Giannis's game is, strangely enough, I think it's built much more for the regular season than it is for the playoffs. In the regular season, teams half-ass it on the defensive side of the ball. They do. And it allows guys like Giannis to really shine, because Giannis is one of the best one-on-one players in the NBA just through sheer athleticism and strength and length. All right, he can get to the rim and attack and have thunderous dunks and posterize people anytime he wants when somebody's playing 60 or 70% of their defensive ability on him. But when you get into the playoffs, and especially in the second round and into the conference finals, you know, you're playing these teams 5, 6, 7 times, and they develop a game plan to stop you. And Giannis certainly has had his moments, but he doesn't look like somebody that's capable of carrying a team to a victory. And we saw what that looks like a couple of nights ago when Kevin Durant literally put the Nets on his shoulders and said, "I'm not going to let you lose." I can't see Giannis doing that. So there are different tiers of foundational stars in this league, and I got to wonder, because whatever coach decides to go to Milwaukee, if Budenholzer gets the boot, you got to wonder if another head coach believes that he can change Giannis's game enough to where Giannis becomes instant offense, somebody that can't be stopped even in a playoff series. Forget about the numbers he puts up or his defense in the 82-game or 72-game regular season. It's irrelevant. What matters is now, and this is just more of the same. This is what we've seen from Giannis the last handful of years in the playoffs. He just doesn't come through when the moments are big. He looks lost out there. He doesn't have a go-to move. He doesn't have the ability to really elevate himself to that next level. And there is a next level. LeBron's been there. Paul Pierce has been there. Ray Allen has been there. We saw Kevin Durant go there the other night. Kyrie Irving has been there. I just don't see Giannis having that next level in his game, that next gear, where he really can put the team on his shoulders regardless of what Chris Middleton's doing, regardless of what Drew Holiday's doing, and carry a team to a playoff victory. We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network. My name is Patrick Gilroy, sitting in for Anthony Pepe and friends here this evening. You know, the other thing that's on my mind is, you know, I go on Twitter multiple times a day because I'm an idiot, and only idiots go on Twitter multiple times a day, but I do, and it's mainly trash, but you'll find some things to talk about on the air, so that's why I do it. And over the last 2 weeks, I have been bombarded with promotional videos for the new Space Jam movie. And I've watched it a few times, and, you know, I've got a soon-to-be 14-year-old daughter and a soon-to-be 11-year-old son. And I was 16 when Space Jam, the first one, came out. So I'm always looking for things that we can sit around and watch together. There isn't a lot of TV or movies that, you know, a dad can hang out with his kids and watch. It's either, I forgot how inappropriate American Pie was. I don't mind the random masturbation joke or a random swear, but I forgot how dirty it was. So I sat down to watch it with my kid the other day, and within 15 minutes I had to turn it off because I had just forgotten. Like, so that movie made them laugh. That'll entertain them, but it's completely inappropriate for me to watch with them. And they're too old for Elsa and Anna and Frozen, so there's really nothing in between. And Space Jam should fill that role. I would have rather had Kyrie Irving, and I hate the man, than LeBron James. LeBron James is so, he's just not charismatic. And again, to follow in the footsteps of Michael Jordan, who wasn't the world's greatest actor, but there's a reason why MJ still continues to be the number one sneaker salesman in the world. And it has little to do with the winning that MJ did 25 years ago, because today's generation wasn't around for that. Today's generation, you know, wasn't around for Washington Wizards Michael Jordan. One of the biggest reasons why is because MJ's got this unique air of almost approachability, friendliness, even though he's not friendly. He's got a million-dollar smile, and he knows how to use it. You know, he knows how to be personable and relatable, and he knows how to answer questions in the right way. And he knows when to show emotion, when not to show emotion, and when Michael Jordan shows emotion, it's real. Whether that emotion is anger, whether it's happiness, whether it's just being completely overwhelmed, like what happened when he won that championship just after his father died, and he was overwhelmed lying on the floor, just in agony but in happiness all at the same time. That's real. I don't think we've ever seen or heard anything real from LeBron James. LeBron has always been in Michael's shadow, and even in Kobe's shadow. You know, he's always been the next one, the next guy up. And it almost looks like LeBron's uncomfortable sometimes because he's not comfortable being who he is. He could be the best scorer of the last generation. He could be much more like MJ than he is, but he's got a lot of magic in him. And he didn't embrace either side. See, he's a great playmaker. He's got incredible court vision. He's got the size. He's got the strength. You know, but he didn't embrace the Magic Johnson side, and he didn't fully embrace the scorer's side. And what he did was he took the easy way out. So when he doesn't have it going or he doesn't want to have the pressure on him, well, then he can create for somebody else, right? And if that shot doesn't go in, then what happens? We question, why didn't LeBron take the shot? Well, because he's a great creator. But is he? Did his teammate really have the confidence that he was going to get the ball and he was going to have an opportunity to put the ball in the hoop? Because LeBron doesn't exactly instill that type of confidence in his teammates until it's time to make his teammate the excuse for why you lost. See, that's the problem with LeBron. It's never been real with LeBron James. And it's not his fault. He's grown up in this generation, and he's grown up literally in front of our eyes. Since he was 13 years old, Stuart Scott used to play his highlights on ESPN when he was in eighth grade. So it's not LeBron's fault. But to put him in this movie, I mean, let's not forget, it's not just one MJ, but two that made the original Space Jam legendary. It's two, all right? You had Michael Jordan, and you had Michael Jackson doing the soundtrack. And that soundtrack was legendary. So it was able to attract kids and adults and alike. And this is going to be the worst reboot of all time. It's just, it's unoriginal, and I'm sorry. There's nothing about LeBron James that I think will draw people to a movie theater. There's nothing about LeBron James that will draw me to HBO Max. There's nothing about LeBron James that will draw me to a free show on PBS. He's not worth 2.5 hours if he's not playing basketball. And I'm sorry, playing against the Toons isn't basketball. At least Michael was entertaining. Michael was capable of making fun of himself. That was the brilliance in the first Space Jam. He was the joke. Do you think LeBron James will accept being the joke? Like, you could be the joke and the hero, and that's what Michael Jordan was. He didn't mind Bugs Bunny ragging on him and beating him to the hole. He didn't mind it. And you also had other charismatic guys at the time, like Grandmama Larry Johnson and Charles Barkley and Muggsy Bogues. And Sean Bradley really didn't belong, but, you know, he was there. But you had other guys that had charisma, that had the ability to carry a show. Look at what Charles Barkley has done on TNT over the last 20 years. He carries that show because he's charismatic, he's funny, he knows how to make himself the butt of the joke. You know, when LeBron's fat and old in 30 years, do you think LeBron's going to be capable of making fat jokes about himself the way Charles Barkley does? That's why we love Barkley. Because he doesn't mind making fun of other people. Because it's all fair game, because he makes fun of himself. Michael Jordan does the same thing. And you know, MJ carried that movie, he carried the franchise, and this is just another poor attempt on LeBron James's part to live in the shadows of Michael Jordan, to be the next Michael Jordan. And when LeBron should really be worried about how he's going to hang around the league long enough to play with Bronny Jr. That's his goal. That's been his stated goal all along. But the way he looked in the playoffs last year, he's not going to make it another couple of years for Bronny Jr. to have a chance to get drafted. Unless, of course, LeBron's the general manager and he just re-signs himself. That's possible, too, the way this league is going. I just get annoyed. Some of the reboots that have been out there have been done brilliantly. The Cobra Kai reboot of The Karate Kid, brilliant. It's brilliant. But the 90210 reboot that came out 2 years ago, BH90210, joke. What a flippin' joke that was. You know, so reboots are, they're 50-50. Sometimes they're good, sometimes they're bad. But a reboot of a movie about a legendary basketball player beating a bunch of cartoon characters, did that really need a reboot? Does that sound like a plot line that needed to be touched upon again? Were there any unanswered questions from the first Space Jam movie that you've been wondering about since 1996 that LeBron James is going to answer for you? It what a waste. What an absolute waste. I don't think it's going to make LeBron any more popular. Matter of fact, I think it's going to drive home the point that he's kind of unlikable. And it's a shame. It didn't have to be that way. He could have been the world's biggest a-hole. But if he was himself, I genuinely believe people would have embraced him a lot more than they've been willing to over the last 18 years. My name is Patrick Gilroy. We are the Diehards. This is the Sports Map Radio Network, hanging out with you guys until 10 o'clock Eastern Time, sitting in here for Anthony Pepe and friends. We talked quite a bit tonight about the coaching carousel in the NBA right now, and there's probably going to be another head coaching opportunity opening up if things continue to go the way they did in Game 5. Right now, the Bucks up 11 at half, holding on to Budenholzer's job, but Brooklyn's just hanging around. They're hanging around, and Milwaukee's had multiple opportunities each of the last two games to put their foot on the throat of the Brooklyn Nets and make a statement. And they've been unable to pull away and unable to make that statement. And as long as Brooklyn's within 10 going into the fourth quarter, I think they got to be the favorite to win this game. And it pains me to say that. It does. But I don't think Milwaukee, much like Philadelphia, I just don't think they've got the backbone. They don't know what it takes to win at this level. They don't know what it takes to knock out a team that wants it more than they do. And it's disappointing. It was disappointing for Philly a couple of nights ago, and I have a funny feeling it's going to be a very disappointing night in Milwaukee in about an hour and a half. And if that does come to pass, put Budenholzer on the list along with Brad Stevens, Rick Carlisle, Stan Van Gundy, Terry Stotts, Scotty Brooks. I mean, it's unbelievable. I've never seen anything like this in one-off season, and it's, I think, going to get worse before it gets better. But I promise you the answer is not Coach Cal. So any one of these markets that's listening that's going to open a job opportunity, don't let your callers do what the Boston callers are doing right now and try to will John Calipari to your town. You want no part of that. Believe me. We've been there, done that with Rick Pitino. I don't ever want to go there and do that ever again. Again, my name is Patrick Gilroy. We are the Diehards. When we come back, I'm going to tell you guys all about our good friends at Rocket Mortgage. I bet you can't wait to hear that. Stay tuned. My name is Gilroy. This is the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is the Diehards on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Anthony Pepe and friends.
Final segment here, the Diehards, right here on the Sports Map Radio Network. It's always fun when Pep goes out of town. He's going to be doing more of that with his Food Truck Festivals of America. They are a proud partner of us here on the Sports Map Radio Network. Check them out, foodtruckfestivalsofamerica.com. They're in Milwaukee this weekend, so if you're listening in Milwaukee, it's a good place to be. It could be a very happy, friendly place as they anticipate Game 7 in Brooklyn, or it could be a miserable place full of angry, sad, upset Bucks fans that'll be flooding into the Food Truck Festivals of America to get a big, delicious, fattening meal and a couple of draft beers to sort of take care of their losses, make themselves feel better. This has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys listening. Never forget that we are presented by our friends at Rocket Mortgage, home loan options for your family. Rocket can. Again, my name is Patrick Gilroy. Big thank you goes out to AC Behind the Glass. Check us out. We'll be back with you guys again tomorrow night right here on the Sports Map Radio Network.